Tonight, let's start at verse 13. I covered the first 12 verses, more or less. I shan't go into any more details in those verses. So, having spoken about the tongue, we come now to a discourse on wisdom. It is an exceptional portion of the scriptures, and it's only from 13 to 18. But listen to it, and a few of the words will be a little different. I will translate them a little different, live from what you have in your King James. Perhaps you can understand them better. So listen, James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good life, his works, in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and strife, and this means ambitious self-seeking, if you have bitter jealousy and self-seeking in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom is not a wisdom that cometh down from above. Now think. You have faith without works is dead. You have one that is a hearer of the law, but is not a doer of the law. There is one that is profitable, one that is unprofitable. Now, here again, we have two kinds of wisdom. The first kind that we read through verse 15 is a kind that's bad wisdom. It's wisdom. Just like there is dead faith, that's faith, a kind of faith, but it's dead faith. So, it says, who is wise and understanding among you? Then, demonstrate it. Look at verse 15. Talking about this wisdom that is bad wisdom, just as we have dead faith. Verse 15. This wisdom is not a wisdom that cometh down from above, but is earthly, soulish, demonish. What does that mean? It means it's the way things are and the way men live on earth. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It says it is earthly. There is a kind of wisdom that is earthly. And there is a kind of wisdom that is soulish. What does it mean? It means that there are base animal emotions within us, and at times those emotions influence our wisdom. And then also the word is demon, demoniacal, demonish. So, verse 16, for where jealousy and strife are, selfish ambition, there is confusion and every vile deed. Thank God for verse 17. There is dead faith and living faith. There is bad wisdom, earthly wisdom, and there is heavenly wisdom. Listen to verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without variance, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for them that make peace. Think now, starting in chapter 3, you have to go through 15 verses before you get relief. And finally, in verse 16, having concluded what this bad wisdom is, in verse 17 and 18, the wisdom that is from above. All right. I was noticing the similarity with different subjects and yet being alike Notice, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good life his works. Notice, you say you are wise and understanding, then show me by your good life. Turn now to chapter 2. Turn to chapter 2. I want you to see something that is similar here in chapter 2. Look at verse 18. Yea, a man will say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I by my works will show thee my faith. Notice, I'm going to show you by my works my faith. Now, look over in chapter 3 again, and verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good life. Do you see that? The same word, show, demonstrate. Here's a man that says, I have faith. And James says, then show me that faith without works. And I, by my works, will show you my faith. And so here are people that are boasting that they have wisdom. James says this, show me by your good life that you have wisdom. That's very interesting, because it is not accepted that a man says that he has wisdom unless he can demonstrate that he has wisdom. It's not enough that a man says, I have faith. James says, show me that faith. It's not enough that the man says, I hear the word of God. James says, do the word of God. You see how this is repeated again and again and again? You have faith, but it's a dead faith, and that's undemonstrable that it's acceptable. Dead faith, but that's not the kind of faith that amounts to anything in God's sight. There is the hearing of the law, the word of God. Listen to what it says. Blessed are they that hear and do the things that are written in this book. Even John tells us that in the book of Revelation. You hear it, you are blessed for hearing it, because it's a good thing to be illumined as to what is God's truth, what is right, but we are held more accountable after we hear it to do it than if we had not heard it. And so, I hear the word of God. James says, do the word of God. And here is a man. He is one like those we studied in past weeks. Be not many of you teachers, my brethren. Why? Because some said they were teachers, and some boasted of their qualifications as teachers. But this is what God's word says about some. It said, they desire to be teachers of the law, though they understand neither what they say nor they confidently affirm. But they say, I am a teacher of the law. But they have no qualifications. And here are those that say, I am wise and understanding. And so James says, show it by the life that you live. You know what I would have thought? I would have thought that what would have been called for would have been an example of success by the use of this wisdom. It's like a lawyer. Here is a man who says, I am a good lawyer. And you would say, well, tell me the cases that you've won. And then if he told you of a case that he won, but you understood that he had corrupted the truth, that he had brought in false witnesses, that bribes were handed out, what would you think of that lawyer's success? The very fact that he mentioned his success without telling you how he brought about that success would not be a commendation, because when you knew the whole of the story, you would understand that it was condemnation, not commendation. And so this is what James is saying. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? I am. He said, show me by your good life. So do you have that ability to demonstrate to your brothers and sisters in Christ and to the world that you have wisdom and understanding by your good life, your works, in meekness of wisdom. So, if a man has true wisdom, his life is going to be in conformity with that wisdom. Because what is the beginning of wisdom? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. To walk in His paths is understanding. That is wisdom and understanding. And so James says, you say you have wisdom and understanding? Then show me by your good life your works. And so if a man says, I have wisdom, indeed he may have wisdom. A man says, I have faith, why, the demons believe and they tremble. But there is a living faith and a dead faith. And there is an earthly wisdom and understanding, as well as a heavenly wisdom and understanding. And you cannot tell me that some of these criminal lawyers are not filled with wisdom. Is it a wisdom that cometh down from above? Tell me, why do you think that this criminal that was accused of murdering his wife and another man was able to go free? You say, because of the wise lawyers and representatives that he had. That is true. The first time that he was tried. Think of that now. And yet, considering those lawyers that he had on his case, unless I were criminal, unless my heart was filled with carnality, I would not want this man. What God is saying is this. He is saying that true wisdom is to lay before the eyes of those that are concerned all that is true. And not by your tricks, not by your ability to manipulate the truth, but simply by the presentation of the truth itself, to lay the facts of the case down. And then, if this lawyer wins, that is good. If he loses, that is good as well. This is what James is contending for. Because, notice what he says. He says, who is really wise and understanding among you? Then, a man who, by his good life, shows by his works in meekness of wisdom, that man has wisdom and understanding. And you will have to search long and hard to find a man with that kind of wisdom. At times, you can find one who has a good life and good works, but many times they have not the ability, they have not discernment, because that's a special gift from God. You'll find in 1 Corinthians 12 that the gift of discernment, the gift of knowing what is right and wrong, the gift of knowing whether prophecy that is being spoken is true or false, that is a special gift from God. Now, all of us are gifted by God to live a good life and have good works, but in addition to being gifted by God, we have to live that good life and have good works to demonstrate that we are among those who are wise and understanding. And it speaks in Chronicles about 200 men of the tribe of Issachar who had an understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Now, I'm thinking of us here. How often have we prayed? You know how small we are and how long we've been this way for years and years. And once in a while, we'll speak to an individual, but that individual already goes to a church or is unconverted. And we prayed. But if there were 200 that had wisdom and an understanding of the times to know what we ought to do to increase our numbers, scripturally, and according to wisdom and understanding of a godly kind, it would be delightful to have them. So it may be that I have the ability to teach you the Word of God, but I do not have the wisdom and understanding as to how to increase our number. So if you have that wisdom and understanding, then use it and help us from being a little flock, as it says in the book of Acts. The Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. And at first, thousands were saved. Then, a couple here, one there, another in another place. But here is understanding. What now? Here is what I'm afraid of. That You can bring in individuals that have earthly wisdom, and they can get our numbers increased. I remember many years ago, we had some worldly wise men that came to us and made an appeal to us. I think it was the Presbyterian Church at that time, or the Baptist, that had called in these professional money gatherers. And we will gather so much money for you, and you give us a percentage of it. And they did a successful job for the Baptist or the Methodist Church. I hear that they're spending $1 million or more to renovate this church. And they came to us and said, we'll do the same for you for a percentage. Now, wouldn't that be excellent? And so we send these professional money gatherers around, and they bring in money. And would you accept that? You say, no. Why? Because that is a wisdom that does not come down from above. But it is wisdom. You must understand that. And at the same time, if we had some here, they would know how to bring in entertainment. Those playing musical instruments, singing, putting on dramatizations, all of that. And somehow people will come in from the outside, and here we have the numbers. But instead of adding to the quality, it would simply be the quantity, and it would be filled with carnality. And that is something that we do not want. But understand that there are those that have worldly wisdom, and they know how to gather money, because I'm receiving letters all the time by these professional money beggars, and at the same time, there are books on telling you how to increase and improve your church. But so often you look at these things and you understand that what they're telling you is not this wisdom that cometh down from above, but this earthly wisdom. All right. Now, how do you know whether it's true or false? Look at verse 14. Suppose you have a man that says he has wisdom and understanding, and yet the solutions that he gives cause, in verse 14, bitter jealousy and strife, ambition, self-seeking in your heart. You see, he is determined to get his way no matter what. It's just like this. As wrong as the Roman Catholics may be, thank God that there is a determination not to have women in the priesthood and not to have abortion. Understand that. But there are those in the same group that have agitators that are doing everything in their power to overthrow what in this case is according to the Word of God, the sanctity of life, and I suffer not a woman to teach nor to have authority over a man. But here is the truth of God's Word. There are some, and the Anglican Church has already succumbed and made women priests. Now, what has happened is this. They have had bitter strife and selfish ambition in their hearts. And so you see, they would come forth and say, we have been successful. Some people have put that to me as for a thing being right because of the success of what is happening. I remember when someone was speaking of workers, they said, don't you know that this is of God because they've been blessed? And I brought one illustration to their attention, and it was this. In the Old Testament, God told Moses the second time to get water for the people, speak to the rock. And Moses took the rod and smote it twice and said, must we bring you rock, water out of this rock? And when he did that, it said, the water came forth abundantly. And so I asked the person, I said, now, did God bless Moses and give water because he did what was right, or in spite of what he did that was wrong? And he said, I see. And so there may be success. Do you realize that there are some that have not the moral qualifications that might have more gift than a man who does have the moral and spiritual qualifications? But the use of that man and the success that they might bring is a wisdom that is of the world. So listen to it. Listen to the threefold description. First of all, it is earthly, it is soulish, it is demonish, because what is happening in verse 14, this bitter jealousy and strife and selfish ambition that's going on, it says, this is a wisdom that cometh down not from above. All right. Notice that when they were successful, they had bitter jealousy and strife and selfish ambition in the heart, and they may have been successful. Just like these Judaizers that said, you have to circumcise the converts and make them keep the law of Moses or they cannot be saved. And perhaps because of the influence of Jews that were dedicated to the law, they may have been successful. And if so, they were glorying against the truth. And at the same time, they were boasting and lying against the truth. I want to show you what the truth means there. Turn to chapter 1. Turn to chapter 1. And look at verse 18. 1:18. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. So what is the word of truth? It is the truth that we now have in its fullness in the Scriptures. The truth that in the early New Testament, the truth that was spoken by the Apostle Paul and by James and Peter. And so when it says this, glory not and lie not against the truth. Do you know that some Christians would lie against the truth? One thing that I have seen, and it is part of me, is this, that if I am in an argument or a debate with a person about a truth of Scripture, and this person is telling me what he believes, and he doesn't know his subject fully, I cannot help but bring out other points that would help him in this argument against the truth. Some, if he didn't know them, would laugh and would say, don't tell him anything, because we want him to lose. But you allow him to bring all the truth of God to bear upon the subject that you're discussing. But some are willing to pervert the truth, and some are willing to glory if they win an argument, no matter how they did it, and they tell lies against the truth. Let me give you an example of one lying against the truth. It's called hypocrisy. The Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 10 had been taught by the Lord Jesus from heaven that God made no distinction between Jews and Gentiles. And he said, I know that. God taught me that. But you'll find that when influential people came down from James at Jerusalem, then Peter, who had been eating with the Gentiles, played the hypocrite, that's what it says in the Bible, and separated himself from the Gentiles. Do you realize that is lying against the truth? Instead of showing by your good life, he by his hypocrisy was lying against the truth. So whatever the truth is, stand for that truth. If it seemingly is going to bring you down and weaken you and put you in a position of vulnerability, contend for the truth, whatever it might be. Do not suppress the truth. Do not lie against the truth. And if you win an argument because they are ignorant of the truth and you know that they were right, but they did not know how to put across their argument, do not glory. Because if you do, all of these things are described in this way. It says, this wisdom in verse 15 is earthly, soulish, demoniacal, demons. So here it is. There is an earthly wisdom. He that is of the earth speaketh as of the earth, and the world hears him. Earthly individuals know how to speak the language of the world, and it says the world will listen to them. And that's the kind of wisdom that is being condemned. It is earthly, and then it is soulish. What does it mean? Justice. And I'm so sad. Do you realize that the world believes that Princess Diana is in heaven and is being praised by all the angels because of the good works that she did on earth? Isn't that a sad thing? Why? Because that is soulish wisdom. Do good, get to heaven. Why? If this woman weren't a child of God, it couldn't be that way. I hope the woman was. She may have been. But what happens is that the world has honored her in a way that even England never expected. Why? Because it speaks about a soulish wisdom. And I've seen that when they're appealing for money on television, they'll put this little child there that's partially dressed and yet to have a little smile on the face. Don't you know what they're working on? They're working on your emotions. That is soulish wisdom. But the worst thing is this. There is demon wisdom as well. I want you to see this verse. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Chapter 4. Verse 1. But the Spirit saith expressly that in the later time some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons through the hypocrisy of men that speak lies, branded in their own conscience as with a hot iron. Notice, here are demons that are teaching through hypocrites, and these hypocrites have been branded in their consciences with a hot iron, just as you're able. When I used to work and have calluses, you could take a pin and stick it through some of the calluses. You couldn't feel it at all. You stick it in your flesh and you would feel it immediately. But it said, some people are branded in their conscience as with a hot iron, and demons are able to teach their teachings through these hypocrites, these false teachers. And so James says all of this can take place in those that profess to have wisdom and understanding among you. So look back now in James chapter 3. Do you remember? And I'm going to read this to you. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. You see? Every good and every perfect gift, that's 1:17, cometh down from heaven, from the Father of lights. And so when it says in verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above, verse 15 is contrasting what I read to you in chapter 1. This wisdom is not a wisdom that cometh down from above. It said every good and every perfect gift is. And so if a man has true wisdom and understanding, it's a gift that cometh down from above. But if he has earthly wisdom, if he has the gift of foolish carnal persuasion that the natural man has, and if he has satanic demon power and instruction to help him win, then it says this wisdom is not a wisdom that cometh down from above, but it is earthly, sensual, devilish. Now, and what's going to happen when that wisdom is enforced? It said where jealousy and strife are, there is confusion and every vile deed. But the wisdom that is from above. So this is what you can count on if someone does have true wisdom and understanding when there is a controversy. First of all, their wisdom will be pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without variance, without hypocrisy. So think of some of the problems in the church, and think of the argument among men, and think of the wisdom that is being exerted concerning those problems. If it is a wisdom that is from above, there is purity. It is first pure. It is peaceable. Notice the contrast. It speaks about contention, jealousy, strife, instability, all of those things when the wisdom is not from above. Their wisdom is not pure and their wisdom is not peaceable. Gentle being treated, you'll find some that can never be reasoned with. There is no entreaty. You can't get them to agree to anything. And it's full of mercy. If you show mercy, a person has been wrong. And you show mercy to that person. And it's full of good fruits. What does it mean? Well, I remember that Paul and Barnabas had sharp contention, and they separated. And it said, it is full of mercy and good fruits. And that was a bad fruit, without variance and without hypocrisy. The truth is to be stood for and to be maintained, whatever the cost. And if that is so, then think of what is the solution, and if these things characterize it, if it is pure and peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without variance, without hypocrisy, that is a wisdom from above. That is a God-given wisdom, and the solution is God-given. But there is a worldly wisdom that glories against the truth and that lies against the truth and that is contentious and self-seeking. It says, this can be satanic, sensual, worldly. So we've heard about these false teachers. We've heard about false wisdom. We've heard about dead faith. Thank God we've heard also about wisdom that is not acceptable in God's sight, but we've learned about heavenly wisdom, the gifted wisdom that comes down from heaven. So let's all take it to heart and seek that kind of wisdom and that kind of understanding. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that you tell us these things in your word. Let us know that at times we could think we were right because we had more human wisdom than others. But our God, you tell us that that is not wisdom that comes down from above. And Father, if we could stretch the truth, and if we could withhold the truth and have victory, then we would say that is wisdom. But it's a wisdom from beneath, not a wisdom from above. So let us, as your dear children, know the difference between the two. Confess, yes, there is this wisdom, but it's earthly wisdom. And yes, this is heavenly wisdom. Yes, there is faith, but that's dead faith. And then there is that living faith. So let us, Father, all of us who profess to be wise and understanding, let us show by our good life, our works, in peace, and in demonstration of the love of God. Hear us and bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.